So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 6. We're going to be looking carefully at verse 18 today. A whole verse. We've been kind of going through those different parts of the armor of God each week here. And I hope that that has been helpful to you in just putting on this armor of God, as Paul has been teaching us about this. And let's read verses 10 through 20 here, I think it is, in Ephesians chapter 6. All right. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer." Here's our verse for today. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father God, I ask that today you would help us to help us to run to you every day with all kinds of prayers and requests and just conversations, Lord, where we can just tell our Abba Father everything that's going on in our lives. I pray that you would help us to understand more this incredible reality that God is our Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know a lot of people in here are old enough to have experienced this thing called parenthood. How many out there of you? Like, all of you, virtually, except for the ones not old enough to experience that yet. And they're all gone. Oh, there's a few left here. There's a few over there. But, so they, when I talk about this, they can look at it from the other way, looking up at mom and dad. Moms and dads, I want you to look down and think about your kids today. All right? And you guys can learn what I'm talking about here and learn a really cool lesson. Because I have a son. You guys have heard him up here preaching in this pulpit. And when he starts to talk, isn't it kind of cool what happens? He's been here preaching a lot of the time when I'm not, so I don't know. But I've heard him a couple of weeks ago now. We were on our way back from North Carolina. We got to stop in Louisville, and we got to have about 2 hours of conversation before we had to sleep and then get back on the road the next day. And just hearing my son tell me what God was doing in his heart and what was on his mind that day, it delighted my soul. I mean, it brought hearing my son tell me. Now, if you don't know Jonathan too well, generally speaking, he just doesn't say too much. Until he gets in the pulpit, then boy, oh boy, how God just works. And it's so cool to hear when he's been preparing for 2 weeks for a Sunday school lesson that he's teaching this morning. And I just wish, I hope somebody's recording it or something. That would be pretty awesome. I don't think they do that in their Sunday school class. But when your children come and tell you something, all you parents here, you can give me a nod if you can agree with this. It doesn't matter what they want to tell you, right? You just want them to come and tell you, right? For the most part. I mean, I know they could say some crazy things that would totally turn our world upside down. But even when that happens, you want them to come and talk to you, right? And yeah, Jonathan had some news for us. And we were just, that's so cool. And, you know, just a couple of texts on the WhatsApp thing on our phones, and like, praise God, it's so good to hear from Jonathan, you know. And anytime Lydia wants to go have coffee and just talk, it's something that delights the heart of a dad or mom, doesn't matter. And I want to, before I continue, I want to say that I don't think we understand this about God, that he is just pretty much just like that when it comes to wanting his kids to come. He just wants us to come and talk to him. Reminds me of that goofy story of the uncle who always kept a bunch of nickels in his pocket because his nieces and nephews would come running and he would always give them a nickel, you know. And And one time the kid said, Uncle Bob, couldn't you just go ahead and give me all those nickels? And he goes, no, I'm not going to give you all them nickels. I want you to keep coming back. I want you to keep coming back. So it's a cool little thing. As we go through this, I want you to remember where we've been in the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He started in chapter 1 emphasizing the fatherhood of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Right? Remember, and all the way through the book, we've talked about lots of relationships, but that relationship is foundational to all the others. Everything else in the book, it's so important that we understand that God is our Abba Father. His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. I'm one of his kids, so I get to run to him with anything, anytime, all the time. Okay? So, with that in mind, where have we been? We've been going through the armor of God here, and he told us our struggle is not against human beings, other people, flesh and blood, but our struggle is against these demonic forces that are trying to destroy us. So, there's an aspect in this today where we need to remember that this message on prayer is connected to all of these other things. Okay, put on the whole armor of God. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we need to take up the full armor of God so that we'll be able to resist, and having done everything, to stand firm. And what did he say? Stand firm, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having taken up the shield of faith, and taking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So think about all of that armor now, right? We put it all on. He says to put on all this stuff with all prayer. I think that it's important, and I kind of hit on this early in the series on the armor, that the way we put this stuff on is through praying. Through this amazing thing called prayer, which I don't know if you're like me, it's been one of those, it's not a natural thing that comes to me. Maybe when you became a Christian, you just automatically prayed every day and everything was, you had a great connection with God. But this is something that I, after walking with the Lord for 30 years, it's like I'm still so dense when it comes to prayer. And why in the world do we have to work on it? Why is it so hard? After what I've just said, our Father in heaven wants us to, why don't we just run to Him all the time? Why is that? It's because of our carnal, sinful human natures. Let's just call it what it is. We are human beings that are, even though we've been born again to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we're still not fully in the likeness of Christ. We still have a fallen human nature that, like that old hymn says, we're prone to wander. Lord, I know it, prone to leave the God I love. We have a carnal side that we have to deal with in order to, actually, Paul says, crucify. We need to crucify the flesh in order to walk in the Spirit. And so we're always, that's something that I have to, every day, we have to constantly be working on it. So we do all this stuff with all prayer and petition. We put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put that on our feet by praying. We take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We do all of these. We take these things up by talking to God, by saying, Lord, give me what I need today. Lord, today I put this on, and we walk through that. And He says, so put on all of these things with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So I'm going to walk through each of those parts of the verse right here. Okay, so with all prayer and petition. That there's two words there that are both used all throughout the New Testament about prayer. And they really do say a lot about this topic of prayer. So prosuke is the general word that, right here, it's any prayer addressed to God. Anytime anybody is talking to God about any kind of topic or need, or they're just saying, hi God, or, you know, do you ever do that? I gotta tell you a story. I got a friend. I don't know. I still don't know what to think about this. Throughout the day, he just has a lot of time on the road, or, you know, whenever he's sitting in his office, he looks at the clock and he sees it's 3:33. And it just so happens that he looks at the clock when it's 3:33, and he has this in mind that it's God saying hello to him. I don't know about you. Is it just a coincidence that you looked at the clock and that thing? But I just think, I don't know why that popped into my head, but I like that little thing right there, something as simple as looking at the clock and seeing 3:33 reminds my friend that God, he has the sense that God is saying hello to him, and it reminds him to say hi to God, to acknowledge God. And it's not a bad thing in my mind, because the Bible says that we're to pray continually, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So my advice to him might be, well, friend, shouldn't you say hi to God when it's 4:23 too? And how about 5:56 or 7:32? I think all we need to remember, but anyway, it's just a funny little thing that jumped into my head. But what might we do to remind us, to pray and to, it says, with all prayer and petition. So the first word for prayer is that simple, any kind of talk addressed towards God is prosuke. And it's that's what we, when we say the word, we ought to pray to God every day. And it includes all kinds of stuff. That's the word, prosuke. Okay, and then there's this word right here, it means a need, or indigence, want, privation, penury, seeking, asking, entreating. And this word is used whether you're talking to God or to man. So you might be going to your boss and saying, hey boss, can I have a day off? That's, you are, in a sense, praying to your boss and saying, can I get the day off? It's my wife's birthday or whatever, right? Or I'm not making enough to feed my family. Could you give me some more money for the work that I do for you? He's entreating his boss for a pay raise. It could be something rather serious. But whenever you're asking for something, that's a petition. That's the word right there. So there's two different, with all prayer and petition. So it's kind of, with that phrase, he's saying, put on all of this armor with all kinds of prayer and petitions. Kind of interesting, right? Let's just keep thinking about that. God wants us to come and talk to him about everything. So, not just at 3:33, okay? God wants us to talk to him about everything and to ask him for all kinds of stuff. Do you ever know somebody who's always coming and asking for something? What is the normal human response when somebody's just always coming and asking for something? Go ahead, say it out loud.
No.
Yeah, we say no. It's enough of that. No, we say.
Stop it.
But, yeah, stop that. I'm not God. What are you asking me for? We get perturbed when people keep coming. We get annoyed when people keep coming and asking us for stuff, But I think that might be why, I wonder if that might be part of the reason we have a problem going to God with everything. Oh, I don't want to bother God with this. He really doesn't need to know about my knee problem. Because, he's got, people are out there with cancer that he's got to heal all those people. So my knee really doesn't matter to him. That, I think, and I'm sort of being a little bit, facetious about it, but I think that might be kind of the way we think about God. And we need to stop that, in the words of Ron. Stop that. God wants us to come when we, and I think the way we come, and I think it's good here to remember the scripture that says, you have not because you ask not, or sometimes you ask and you do not receive, because you ask that you might spend it on your pleasures. Remember that in the book of James? It says that. So there are ways that we can come that are inappropriate, and it might annoy God, if I can use that human anthropomorphism on him. If you want to know what that means, ask me later. when we put on God a human trait. So generally speaking, God wants us to come all the time, every day, just like I would love for my son to send me a text every day or call me every day. I would love that. He's really busy. He works every day, and now he's starting school. He's going to be working full-time and going to seminary. So he's not going to get to, you know, it's not going to get any better on a human perspective. But you know what I can tell when he does talk to me? I can tell he's talking to the most important Abba in heaven. And he's staying in touch with the Father. And that's all that I need to know. Although it would be great if he would call me more often. Okay, so with all kinds of prayer, pray at all times. This is one of those passages where, to me, it's just nice to circle all of the alls. All of those trying to remember the right English description of that kind of, but all of the alls. Pray, let me back up. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, okay? We're going to get to the in the spirit part next, but pray at all times. I wanted to just bring this scripture in here to help us. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, is that what it says? How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? And you probably don't need to be reminded that those words up there, ask and seek and knock, in the first part right there, ask, seek, and knock, those are present tense verbs, which could be translated just as accurately, keep on asking, and keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. God wants us to keep on, and there again is another good example of all kinds of praying. All kinds of. So think about it. Ask is like, oh, I need something. Ask me. Keep on knocking. What is that? What kind of scenarios come into your mind when you're knocking on God's door saying, Lord, you know, it's like you're maybe trying to find the next step in life, or you're trying to figure out what job is going to work for me. I love how God has opened up this door for Rachel. She's, I think, been knocking there for quite a while, and that he's opening up these doors. And she's a good reminder that even if it takes a while, you've got to keep on knocking. You're looking for, you know, what is it God wants me to do with all of my life? Well, God wants you to keep on knocking on his door. Okay? Asking, seeking, and knocking. And it says everybody who asks will receive. And he who seeks, he will find. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. Okay? And I love this. If you ask for a piece of bread, if your son or your daughter asks you for a piece of bread, you don't give them some poisonous critter, you know? You don't give them something dangerous. You give them, my kid asked for a cookie. I'm the weak one. Sure, have a cookie.
Go ahead, Eleanor.
I just want to... Parents can do that in a bad way, huh? Give kids what is not good for them. So, but God, He knows, and He just wants us to keep on asking, seeking, and knocking, okay? So pray at all times. It doesn't matter what kind of situation or problem you're having. God wants you to keep on coming, all right? Let's look now in the Spirit. What's that mean? Praying in the Spirit. I do not cease. And I found, often when I'm looking at scriptures like this, I think the best thing to do is to find, what's a good example of somebody praying in the Spirit in the Bible? I think this is just one of them, okay? I'm going to read it and then do a very little bit of explaining and move on. I don't cease. Paul is praying in, and this is just a little review from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, so he's praying for this church that is the Father of glory that he's been talking about all through the book, that he may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. There again, he's expounding on these spiritual blessings that he talked about in chapter 1, verse 3. Every spirit, and here he's praying, Lord, open up their eyes that they would have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you. Open their eyes so that they'd be enlightened, so that they would know what is the hope of your calling, Lord. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, praying that somebody would understand everything that God has given to them is an awesome prayer. The reason I point this out is that there's one of those mistakes running through the church that I kind of get the impression that when some people say pray in the Spirit, that only means praying in tongues. And I think that's a mistake. I think praying in tongues, according to the way that we see it in the book of Acts, in a biblical sense, the way it's described in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that's one way of praying in the Spirit would be praying in tongues. Several times I've asked God, Lord, I'd love that. I'd love to experience that. But then in Corinthians it says there that not everybody has the gift of speaking in tongues. And so this, I think sometimes, and when you have those different strains of Christian thought and stuff, we need to remember that, you know, sometimes people are talking about the same thing and they use different terminology and this and that. I would love to experience that. But when it says praying in the Spirit, it doesn't mean only speaking in tongues. It means the Holy Spirit is the one guiding and directing your praying. So that, remember, I kind of hit on it the other day when we talked about taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. It doesn't say logos of God. It says rhema of God. And I sort of talked about this a little bit then. When I'm praying for somebody and the Holy Spirit gives me a scripture and I pray that scripture over them, I may not be speaking in tongues at all, but I believe that's praying in the Spirit. And we don't want to say that only people who have the gift of speaking in tongues get to experience praying in the Spirit. This is something that God wants all of us to do. This is a command to the whole church, those who have this particular gift or not have a particular gift in that sense, the Lord wants us to know and experience what it means to pray at all times in the Spirit. This is for all Christians. Okay? All right. And moving on, he says, and with this in view, okay, the Amplified and the ESV say, to that end, keep alert. I'm going to talk about the be alert part in a minute again, but to that end, with this in view, and the Lexham translation says, and to this end, being alert, okay? So I want to say about this, this is part of why I struggle with prayer, I think. Because I'll sit down and start to pray, and then as I'm praying, all of a sudden I notice on my phone that there's a little, there's an update on the Cleveland Indians game. Squirrel! And I'm sidetracked, you know, because I use my phone when I'm, because I have the Bible open on my little tablet there, tablet, phone, same thing, both Android devices. And that's what's the danger about having that stuff, about using things. If you're like me and have this ADD tendency, and it's hard for you to stay, maybe it's better just to have your Bible open and shut the phone off or do whatever it takes so that you can. This says, with this in view, be on the alert, okay? I struggle so much right here as I am so often distracted. I must discipline myself to stay focused on God. This is something that I need the Holy Spirit to help me with. I'm so carnal in this area that if I try to do it on my own, it's something where I'll just be running down the squirrel path all day long. But when I can, you know, open up the scriptures and get everything else out of my, you know, and focus on the Lord, then His Holy Spirit can just do awesome things, right? So, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Notice what it says here. When it says be on the alert, I just looked up that word, and it means to make an effort to learn of what might be a potential future threat. When you're on the alert, think about that. Okay, you have gotten some intel. There's a bad guy loose in your neighborhood. He's going around and he's breaking into garages and cars and stealing stuff, and you know, just a regular. The police will try to spread. I love how they're using Facebook now and Twitter or whatever to try to get people. Hey, there's a criminal doing this kind of stuff in the Heights. If everybody is on the alert, we can, you know, you can help us catch this guy. So then everybody, you know, maybe keep some lights on. You put the dog out there, don't feed him for 3 days or whatever, you know, so that he's after that guy. No, I'm just kidding. You don't want him to eat the bad guy, right? So, but we need to think about this. We've been talking about all these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Put on the whole armor of God. And he says, put it on with prayer, staying on the alert. Be on the alert with all perseverance. Make an effort to learn of what might be a potential future threat. That's the meaning of that Greek word. The enemy, see, I heard about a guy doing that in our neighborhood going on and breaking in a few years ago. But since then, I don't know if they caught the guy, he quit. We haven't heard anything like that. I'm not on the alert. We live in a nice neighborhood. You know, we lock our doors, but we don't worry about stuff. I'm not really on the alert. But we've been reminded in this passage, I think of, isn't it Peter that reminded us, Peter speaking to the church out there, your enemy, The devil is like a lion on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't, there's not a day when we don't have to be on the alert for that. We need to stay on, he wants us to be on the alert when we're in prayer, thinking, and I think that's why the Lord, when he gave us this, the perfect sample prayer that kind of helps us every single day to pray the Lord's Prayer and use it to pray those themes. Lord, deliver us from, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil, or evil one, depending on your translation. Lord, deliver us from evil today. So Paul is saying we need to put on this armor every day, praying the way he's describing here, and doing this, staying on the alert, because unfortunately, we don't have a green zone where you get to take your armor off and take some days off so you can rest and recuperate, right? Even when we go on vacation, and I go and stay in at the Bible college where there's nothing but Christian stuff all around, and I'm staying there and I'm trying to get closer to God. Guess what? The enemy is still attacking. I still got to put on the armor. Okay? So I want to close with the amplified translation of the verse right here. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. Capital S right there. I mean, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in this. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep on alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Interceding in behalf of all the saints. Now, how in the world did I miss that on my list there? Always keep on the alert and praying for all the saints. This is one of the reasons I like everybody to have a paper copy of the church directory. And we were kind of working on it for a while, but we lost all the pictures. I wanted to create a directory where I have every family on one page with their picture and stuff about them in a little place to take notes so that I could work my way through and make sure that I'm praying for everyone. Systematically, the Bible says pray for all the saints. Now I think for those who are going to struggle with that perpetually, it's kind of cool how I can just say, Lord, I'm praying for the whole church today. Lord, I'm praying for the whole body that you would bless them and keep them and make your face shine upon them, Lord, and provide everything they need today, Lord, and Lord, protect them from the evil one who is after them today. I can pray for all of you like that, but I think it's good to pray for you one by one. It's good for us to pray for each other one by one like that. So it's good to pray for the whole, and that's why I like to pray for the whole church in America. I'll never be able to have a page for everybody in America, you know, in every church, but I can pray for the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, right, as a whole. But then he writes it in such a way here, keep on praying for all the saints. I think all of us know how encouraging it is and helpful it is when we know that one other believer is praying for me. This morning I got a text message from my pastor friend at the Alliance Church, Lauren, said, I'm praying for you this morning, Mike. And I'm like, that's so encouraging to me. And I'd say, it reminds me to pray for him. I'm praying for you too right now. And that happens pretty regularly on Sunday morning between me and I try to beat him to it, but he usually beats me to it. So, isn't it awesome? We've got a dad in heaven, an eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Father in heaven who wants us to come running to Him with everything. I think He wants me to come running to Him more than I want my son to come running to me and talk to me. I just believe that with all my heart. He's a good dad. So, let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the amazing grace that makes it possible for us to come and experience this miracle of prayer. Really, wretched sinners who deserve to burn in hell, and yet You call us out of darkness into Your glorious light, and then You want us to come running to You every day with everything, all kinds of stuff. And I ask in Jesus' name that You would help us to put our trust in You more than ever before. Help us to come running to You more than ever before. Help us to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love one another as we love ourselves. If we do that, I believe we'll pray for one another the way we learned about in this passage today. God, we can't do this without You. So we pray that Your Holy Spirit would work this miracle in us. Teach us to pray, Lord, just like John taught his disciples to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.